want to thank you all for being here. It's so sweet to see so many of you out to join Easter with us and celebrate with us. And you know, some would say that this is the most important celebration for the church. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ secured our salvation and gives us the promise of a future resurrected, glorified body. As it relates to our salvation, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 13, and 14, and then again in 16 and 17. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Now follow. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation, he's talking about the gospel, is in vain, and so is your faith. And then in verse 16 and 17, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is what? Anyone? Exactly. Worthless. And you are still what? Yeah. No forgiveness for sin. So we see without the resurrection, there is no salvation. But also as it relates to our future resurrection and glorified body, Paul says later on in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 22, but as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For just as in Adam all died, so also in Christ will all be made alive. Our future resurrection and glorification is because of Jesus's being the first fruit, his resurrection. But then Paul goes on to tell us a little later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53. He tells us a little bit about what that resurrection is going to look like. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. Folks, this is why we celebrate Easter. This is why Easter is so important to us. Okay, so this morning, we're going to look at the Easter story as we see in the Gospel of John. So if you have a handout, please go ahead and grab that. Feel free to circle or underline things that stick out to you. Our passage this morning is found in John 20. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 18. Again, that's John 20, 1 through 18. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb, so she went running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen clothes laying there, but he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple who had reached the tomb first then also went in and saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciple returned to the place where they were staying. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it you're seeking?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "since I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them what he had said to her. Last week, we looked at the praise and worship that the crowd gave Jesus as he came into Jerusalem. But then less than 1 week later, they would crucify him, their Messiah, their King, the Son of God. Psalm 30, verse 5, says this prophetically about Jesus' resurrection. "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning." The moment that Jesus died, God's wrath, his anger, was turned away from us. And we received his favor through Jesus Christ forever. Then when you look at the second part of this verse, it certainly applies to Jesus' resurrection, his death and resurrection. See, Jesus spent a few nights in the tomb, but his resurrection was early in the morning. His death caused much weeping through the nights while he was in the grave, but his resurrection in the morning brought great joy. Folks, when your nights are long and the sorrow is unrelenting and you wonder if it's ever going to end, remember that Psalm 30, verse 5 makes it clear. It will end. Yes, we will all have times of sorrow, but it will not have the last word in our lives. Joy comes in the morning, as we see here in our passage this morning. Now, we're going to look at three observations this morning. The first is the interaction between Mary and his disciples. The second is the reaction of Peter and John. And then third, we're going to look at the interaction between Mary, the angels, and Jesus. So let's start with that first interaction between Mary and the disciples. We see this in verses 1 and 2. "On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb, so she went running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They've taken out the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him.'" Notice first that this is the first day of the week. Now, there may be some of you who are thinking, "Wait a minute, that's Monday." Because we're kind of used to thinking about it as work week, right? Monday's the first day that we go back to work. But if you look at the calendar, the calendar says it's Sunday. And folks, that's why we as believers have been meeting on Sundays. First, to celebrate and remember Jesus' resurrection. But also, remember this, it gives us a great start to our week as we align our hearts and minds with God. So can I encourage you? Start your week with others praising and worshiping God and listening to his word. Folks, it actually is the best way to start off your week. Aligning your heart and mind with God in the very beginning of the week will help you at least to start off in the right direction. So we see that Mary goes to the grave early Sunday morning and sees that the stone was rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. Her first thought, as we see, is someone stole Jesus' body. And then the second thought was, we need to get help. So she runs off to find the disciples. Now, before we look at what she tells the disciples, notice which disciples he finds. Peter and who? Yeah, the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved. John here is talking about himself. And I don't know about you, but this kind of makes me chuckle. You know, so, okay, John's saying to us, just so everybody knows, Jesus loves me best. And even as a side note, it's funny, you know, as I've read through the Gospel of John, it makes me wonder if there was some sort of rivalry between Peter and John. John tends to throw Peter under the bus. And here we see that John says, Peter and me, the more loved disciple. But you know, that shouldn't come to any surprise to us. These disciples were known for arguing with each other about who was the greatest disciple, who was Jesus' number one man. Jesus more than once reminded them that they should have a servant's heart instead of being first, being last. Folks, you know, this is also important to us, having a humble servant's heart. See, the way up is humility, but the way down is pride. Okay, so back to observation. At the end of verse 2, we see that Mary says to the disciples, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. Jesus had over and over again told them that he would die and be raised back to life. They had even seen it in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So you would think that the resurrection would be the first thing she thought. But don't we tend to be the same way? We think of the natural thing first, not the supernatural thing. We tend to see things in the temporal arena. We tend to leave God out. We think of things as just circumstances instead of God working. And when we do that, we miss so much. Folks, the more we understand that God is with us and involved in the details of our lives, the better off we will be. When we do this, it will give us more joy, more peace. Again, the more we're aware of his presence, the more we'll have peace and joy. Then we see the second observation, the reaction of Peter and John. And we see actually three things in verses 3-8. At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then, following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then also went in, saw, and believed. First, we see that they ran to the tomb to see for themselves what was going on. Of course, John has to tell us he was first, right? But then second, we see that they entered the tomb and looked around. What they saw did not make sense. If someone took the body, they wouldn't have unwrapped it. But what even made less sense was that the wrapping over his head was folded and in a separate place. Again, If people grabbed the body to take it somewhere else, they would not have taken the wrapping off his head, folded it up, and put it somewhere else. And then third, we don't know about Peter, but we see here that John believes. John gets that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. You can tell that even though Peter and John had heard over and over again that Jesus, that he would die and be raised on the third day, folks, it was how the grave clothes were laid that caused John to believe. You know, folks, we don't know what will cause people to realize who Jesus is, what he did, and put their faith in him. Here was a placement of grave clothes. You know, God can use anything to get people's attention. First, God may use you to get someone's attention. Can I encourage you to live in a way to be used by God in other people's lives? But second, we can easily miss what God's doing to get our attention. And can I encourage you there to bring the Lord front and center in your life so you'll sense when he's trying to get your attention? Don't miss what God's trying to show you. Okay, now let's look at that last observation. The interaction between Mary and the angels and Jesus. So we saw that John comes to the grave, looks at the grave clothes, and believes that Jesus rose from the dead. So why did it take angels and Jesus himself for Mary to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead? And we see this in verses 11 through 16. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' feet had been lying, one on the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're seeking?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. You know, it's interesting that we get a little bit more information about what's going on right here in chapter 23, verses 55 and 56, and then again in chapter 24, verse 1. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed along and observed the tomb and how his body was placed. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfume, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Then on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices that they had prepared. Sunday morning was the first opportunity they had to go to the grave. Their purpose, their mission, was to anoint Jesus' body with spices and perfumes. Everything that Mary had said was about finding the body so it could be anointed. Again, that is why she was there. You know, sometimes when all we focus on is what we are planning to do, we can miss what's going on around us. We can miss what Jesus wants us to see and to do. And that's why it's so important, again, for us to keep him front and center in our lives so that we don't miss what he wants us to see and to do. But second, notice that in our passage this morning, Mary is crying. Even the angels and Jesus mention it. We see that the angels say, "Woman, why are you crying?" And then down further, Jesus said to her, "Why are you crying?" Mary was distraught. Her Lord had been crucified, and now his body was gone. Folks, when we get distraught, we tend not to be able to think very clearly, to be able to see what is even right in front of us. But then last in verse 16, we see that she sees Jesus and he calls her by name, and that's when she understands the truth. Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. It's not until we see Jesus like Mary did here when Jesus called her name that we can see clearly, that we can see that's what's right in front of us. Okay, so how do we do that? I mean, Jesus is not physically standing right in front of us. God's word tells us to cast our burdens, those things that cause us to be distraught, on Jesus because he cares for you. Okay, so how do we cast our burdens on him? Well, one way is by telling him, "Lord, you've got this. I'm giving you the thing that has me distraught." And then doing that over and over again whenever you start picking up that burden again. But the second part is asking what he wants you to do. See, folks, putting your situation in the Lord's hands, trusting him, and doing what he wants you to do will bring peace and joy. As we wrap up this morning, I'd like to leave you with just two important things. First, Jesus died and rose again to save you from your sins. He died in your place. He took your sin upon him at the cross. We receive what Jesus did for us by faith, realizing our sin separates us from God, believing that Jesus is God's Son, that he died to save you from your sins, giving him your life. But then second, Easter reminds us of our future resurrection. Someday Jesus will return and we will receive glorified bodies. Folks, can I encourage you to live in light of his return? Be ready for his return, being fruitful and faithful, finishing well. In closing this morning, I'd like to ask everyone, if you would bow your head and close your eyes, as we just take some time to reflect on our time together. This morning we saw that Jesus died and was resurrected to save us from our sins. Through faith in him, you will receive the forgiveness of all of your sins. Become one of God's children, receiving new life now in Jesus and a future home in heaven. How about you? Have you come to the point in your life where you realize you're separated from God because of your sins and you see your need for Jesus? If this is what you want, just tell God in the quietness of your heart, "God, I realize I'm separated from you because of my sins. I want to turn from them. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. And I give you my life." Then for those of us who are Jesus followers, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this morning? Maybe he has reminded you this morning of the importance of worshiping with other believers, being a part of a fellowship of believers. Maybe he spoke to you on the issue of being a humble servant. Or maybe you haven't kept the Lord front and center in your daily life and have been off the path of following him. Or maybe you have been going through painful, difficult situations and haven't been trusting God through it. Folks, whatever's going on in your life, can I encourage you to commit to doing what God's Holy Spirit is telling you to do? Amen.